Well, we've been studying evolution versus creation, the battle of origins, how did we get here. Our last lesson was talking about the flood of Noah. Well, we ended that particular lesson a couple of weeks ago. So tonight we're going to start our next one. This one is a little bit different. It's one of the subjects that most people like to talk about. I have a lot of questions about. We're going to talk about dinosaurs. So, what about the dinosaurs? How many of you ever heard Bert Thompson talk on this subject? Okay, several of you. I remember one of the first things he would talk about, he says, anytime that you want to get little guys' attention, you start talking about dinosaurs. That kid gets their attention in a hurry. So what about the dinosaurs? As a kid when I was growing up, this is probably one of the biggest questions that I had. There wasn't any doubt that dinosaurs existed, but how'd they fit in? Did they live along with man? Or somehow did they live separate and apart from mankind? There's always questions that we have concerning dinosaurs. Did they really exist? I would say most of us say, yes, they did. We have never seen one that was what we call a dinosaur anyway, but the remains are here. Fossils all over the place. Are dinosaurs just stories found in legends and fairy tales? There's lots of stories about dinosaurs. There's lots of stories about people slaying dinosaurs, fighting dinosaurs. If they did exist, when did they live? Did they live with Adam and Eve? Did they live during the time of Noah? Were they on the ark with Noah? Were they part of God's creation? Did they live here on earth at the same time as man? As I said, there's lots of questions that we have. And as with all of these lessons that we've gone through, we're not always able to answer the questions that we have maybe 100% accurately. God doesn't give us a lot of details. But he does give us enough information to know that dinosaurs did live. And as we're going to see, they lived right alongside mankind. We're always hearing that dinosaurs went extinct how many millions of years ago? About 65 million years. That's their standard line. 65 million years ago, dinosaurs went extinct. There is some evidence that shows that they're still able to extract viable tissue from some of these fossils that they find of dinosaurs. Is tissue going to last 65 million years? No. So the dinosaurs have been here recently. And if you've been in my class throughout all this, we know that the earth is only how many thousands of years old? About 6,000. That's right. So the dinosaurs lived somewhere in that period of time. Now, they're not with us today, at least not the ones that we have the fossil remains of. So when did they die out? We'll look at some of that. Did dinosaurs really exist? Of course, we've all answered that and said, yes, they did exist. You can go to a museum and see the fossil remains put back together of these great creatures. So yes, they did exist. There's no doubt that dinosaurs have existed. We've discovered their fossilized remains all around the world, on all seven continents, even in Antarctica. We talked a little bit about that in our last lesson. What is probably most well known about Antarctica today? It's cold. Is that a very good habitat for dinosaurs? No. But their fossil remains are there. So how'd they get there? Great dinosaur graveyards have been found in places like Tanzania, Africa, at the Dinosaur National Monument on the Colorado-Utah border in the United States. Literally tons of fossilized dinosaur bones have been discovered all around the globe. How many have been to the Dinosaur National Monument? Okay, a few of you. It's an interesting place. It's kind of a long drive from here. But if you ever happen to be in that neighborhood, you need to stop by and see it. I happened to be going to Vernal, Utah one time. And of course, that kind of goes by the National Dinosaur Museum. And so stop by there. It's a pretty good sized park. I didn't go through a lot of it. I just went through basically the main entrance and the visitor center that's there. But there's still plenty to see there. The Dinosaur National Monument is located on the border of Utah and Colorado. The dinosaur fossils were discovered in the area by Earl Douglas, a paleontologist, in 1909. So it really hasn't been that long ago. The area was declared a national monument on October 4th, 1915. So they didn't waste any time in preserving that area because they knew the significance of it. It wasn't just a handful of dinosaur fossils, thousands of them. This is a map kind of showing you where it's at. This is Utah over here, Colorado there. Here's the main entrance, the visitor center. That's probably the only area that I was in. But you can go through quite a bit of this and see some other sites. That's where I was headed, Vernal, Utah. And like I said, stopped by there and saw that. It's kind of an eye-opener. It's kind of neat to be that close to these huge creatures that once roamed the earth. And there's the sign as you go in. These are a few pictures. There's the visitor center. We talked about the flood of Noah, that when the flood came, it laid out layers of rock. Well, especially out in the west, you see a lot of those layers of rock are pushed up. Well, that would be caused from either earthquakes, volcanoes. That was pretty well telling you that the rock layers have been laid down horizontally, and then after they have hardened, something pushed them up. That's what you're seeing here. This particular rock is probably about a 45-degree angle. In here, they started digging out dinosaur bones, and there's just hundreds or thousands in there. And so what they did, they just built a building around it. So you can go in and see them as they're halfway dug out, just as they would be found if you are a paleontologist out digging up dinosaur bones. And of course, the building also helps preserve them from the weather and elements. Here's what it looks like inside. They've got little information markers there telling you what the dinosaur bones are that you're seeing. Here's a skull that came from that area. Here's one that's dug out. Interesting creatures. And don't ask me to name all these dinosaurs, because I don't know. Some of them are still pretty intact. Other ones are kind of spread out all over the place. Here's a big guy. In the background, there is a picture of an artist's representation of what they think it may have looked like. I can't remember that one picture before that. Yeah, you can barely see the guy standing right back there. Kind of gives you a little bit of idea of how big it is. There's another image of some bones. Those big bones there look like maybe some kind of leg bones. Whatever it was huge. So these are just some of the types of bones that you would see in that Dinosaur National Park and Museum. There is a footprint of some type of large dinosaur. So dinosaurs are interesting. There was a lot of variety. You know, there were little ones and there was big ones. Of course, we're more captivated with the big ones. And some of them are huge, weighed several tons. It's just amazing, you know, how they even got around. But they did. The first discovery of dinosaurs, at least in recent times, was found in England. Back in 1822, Dr. Gideon Mantell and his wife, Mary Ann. Now, the doctor was an amateur paleontologist. He liked to study old creatures. But one day, Mary Ann rode with her husband, remember this was horse and buggy days, to visit a patient. While the doctor was inside, Mary Ann took a walk. She walked down a road, came across a pile of stones that had been placed in the ditch to fill some ruts caused by the spring rains. You know, we do that today. You see ditches lined up with big old rocks to keep the erosion. Well, this is what they were doing. But she noticed something a little strange about some of these rocks. Among the stones were what appeared to be very large fossil teeth. She showed them to her husband, and he was amazed, never having seen such huge teeth before. He went down to nearby rock quarry where the stones alongside the road had come from and found more of the same type of teeth that his wife had discovered. So if we had found a bunch of fossil bones, fossil teeth out here in the ditch, we'd ask the guys, okay, where'd you get that rock? We've got several rock quarries around here, and they pointed one out. We'd be heading that way, try to find some more. Well, that's what the doctor and his wife was doing. Where did they come from? He took these fossilized teeth to several scientists, but none agreed with him that they were actually large teeth for some unknown creature. You know, the idea of dinosaurs really wasn't that popular at this time. They knew some large creatures maybe had existed. Most of them probably thought they were fairy tales, just stories made up and exaggerated. But Dr. Mantell was sure they were from a large creature that no longer existed and named the owner of the huge tooth Iguanodon, meaning iguana tooth, since the teeth were similar to those of an iguana, but of course, much larger. Well, several years later, after many more teeth were found, many people began to acknowledge that Dr. Mantell may have been correct. These do belong to something that we don't know what it is. Meanwhile, another rock quarry in Oxshire, England, bones from another giant creature had been discovered. Thus began the search for ancient animals that we today call dinosaurs. Since that time, we have found literally thousands, if not millions, of fossilized dinosaur bones. And as I said, not just in England, but all around the world. Where did the word dinosaur come from, and what is its meaning? Anybody have any idea? What does it mean? In 1841, an English scientist named Sir Richard Owen coined the word dinosaura, which comes from two Greek words, dinos, meaning terrible, powerful, or wondrous, sauros, meaning lizard. So it's become to be known as a terrible lizard. Dinos. Anybody ever remember the dinosaur named Dino? That's where his name came from. Dinos. Dino, the dinosaur. Fred Flintstone. Anybody remember the Sinclair gas stations? What was their symbol? A dinosaur. So yeah, dinosaurs became to be the end thing. Is the word dinosaur found in the Bible? When was the word coined? 1841. So it's not found in the Bible. If it is, we've got a problem. Just rabbit tracks off to the side here for a second. Saw a thing on Facebook he gave from a friend of mine. He had a picture of an old Bible. And he says, this Bible is being auctioned off. It's the Bible of the Apostle Paul, and it's the King James Version. Do I have any takers? Couple of problems with that. One, Apostle Paul didn't have a complete Bible, not in printed form. And he sure didn't have a King James Version of it. But anyway, that's just kind of a little funny there. And there's probably some people have no idea what you're talking about there. But yeah, that wasn't Apostle Paul's Bible for sure. Okay, the word dinosaur is not found in the Bible because that word was not coined until 1841. Pretty recent times. So what were these terrible lizards called before the word dinosaur was coined in 1841? Okay, behemoth. What else? What is it? Leviathan. What else? Anybody ever heard of the word dragon? That was basically the word that was used to describe these large creatures for centuries. Dragons. Of course, we kind of get the idea today that, of course, dragons were just fairy tales, made up stories, that type of thing. No, these dragons were real. They may have had different names, behemoth, leviathan, but dragon was their word for a dinosaur. Down through the ages, there have been lots of stories about dragons. In fact, just about every culture in the world have stories about men seeing, fighting, killing dragons of all kinds. Herodotus was a Greek historian who lived in the 5th century BC. That's 5 centuries before Jesus Christ. Many scholars refer to him as the father of history in Western culture. He was the first historian known to collect his material systematically, test their accuracy, and arrange them in a vivid narrative. In other words, he didn't just take somebody's word for something. He tried to research it, make sure it was true before he wrote it down in his books. In his work, The History of Herodotus, Book 2, Herodotus records an interesting report of flying winged serpents. And the story goes that at the beginning of spring, winged serpents from Arabia fly towards Egypt. And the birds called Vissus meet them at the entrance of this country and do not suffer the serpents to go by but kill them. On account of this deed, it is, say the Arabians, that the Ibis has come to be greatly honored by the Egyptians, and the Egyptians also agree that it was for this reason that they honor these birds. The birds weren't huge. A lot of Egyptian drawings and stuff, these birds are depicted. But they were held in high esteem because they warded off these creatures, whatever they were. So this is 5 centuries before Jesus Christ. This is written. Not as a fairy tale, but as far as Herodotus was concerned, it was true. There's the bird. And so these things would attack, I guess by the hundreds or thousands, these flying serpents and keep them from coming into Egypt. Anybody heard of Marco Polo? World traveler, explorer. He was a trader and explorer who traveled the world between 1271 and 1298 AD. He describes what sounds like a dragon. In the book, The Travels of Marco Polo, in Part 2, Chapter 40, Marco Polo reports this. Leaving the city of Yaca and traveling 10 days in a westerly direction, you reached the province of Karazan. This is over in the area of China, which is also the name of the chief city. Here we see huge serpents, 10 paces in length, that's about 30 feet, 10 spans is the girth of the body, or about 8 feet. That's a huge serpent. And this is in 1271 to 1298. And the forepart near the head, they have 2 short legs, having 3 claws like those of a tiger, with eyes larger than a 4-penny loaf, and very glaring. So here Marco Polo is trying to describe, or is describing, this creature. There's a 4-penny loaf. If anybody wanted to know what it is. That's the size of his eyes. Does that look anything close to what we had at the beginning? Huge eyes. The jaws were wide enough to swallow a man. The teeth are large and sharp, and their whole appearance is formidable, that neither man nor any kind of animal can approach them without terror. These were pretty strong, large creatures, dragons, serpents, dinosaurs. And again, he's reporting this not as a fairy tale, but as truth. Pliny the Elder, who was also an author, naturalist, philosopher, as well as a naval and army commander in the Roman Empire, and lived from 23 to 79 AD. This is the time of Jesus. He wrote many books on different subjects, but in the book 8 of Natural History, chapter 11, we read this. Now the spelling is Old English. It says, elephants breed in that part of Africa which lays beyond the deserts. India brings forth the biggest, and also the dragons that are continually at variance with them and ever more fighting, and those of such greatness that they can easily clasp and wind round about the elephants and withal tie them fast with a knot. In this conflict they die, both the one and the other. The elephant, he falls down dead as conquered, and with his heavy weight crush and squeezes the dragon that is wound round about him. So there were these creatures, kind of like serpents, that were huge, and they would wind themselves around these elephants. Has anybody seen pictures of pythons and alligators fighting? Okay, they're on the internet if you want to look it up. Sometimes the alligator wins. Sometimes these huge pythons win. But when I see those, this is what I'm picturing. Here you've got these elephants, but they're battling something that can take them on. It's a huge serpent. And then this is written the time of Jesus. And so what he's saying is that the serpents wind around the elephants, and sometimes if the elephant falls down, the serpent dies too, because the elephant crushes the serpent. So neither one of them win, but they still get in the battle. Chapter 12. The dragons were herefore entangled and snared his feet and legs first with their tail. The elephants on the other side undo those knots with their trunk as with a hand. So here is a picture of an elephant helping an elephant. Here he's being entangled by the serpent, and the other elephant in that group is trying to help him out, trying to untangle him. The principal thing the dragons make at is the eye. In other words, they go for the eye. Now, these dragons are so big with all that they're able to receive all the elephant's blood. And thus, they suck dry until they fall down dead. So once these serpents get a hold of them, and they're able to, they suck their blood out, and the elephant dies. That's quite a creature that can do that. Chapter 13. In Ethiopia, there be as great dragons bred as in India, namely 20 cubits long, again about 30 feet. So these are just a few examples that have been written about dragons or dinosaurs down through history. And yes, there are stories that have been exaggerated, legends and so on, as with any story. But behind all these big stories, there's truth. There's eyewitness accounts of creatures that we don't have today. We don't see today. But they lived. Some of them as about 800 years ago. So they did live with mankind. They weren't dead 65 million years ago. It is interesting that the Chinese have an animal zodiac that is a repeating cycle of 12 years, and each year is represented by an animal. such as a rat, an ox, a tiger, a rabbit, a snake, a horse, a goat, a monkey, a rooster, a dog, a pig. We're all familiar with these animals. But they also have another animal that's in their zodiac, and it's a dragon. Why would you make up one make-believe animal when all the other ones are real? Is it because the dragon was real? Remember, some of those stories we read about was from China. Great creatures. Did dragons or dinosaurs really exist? Of course they did. Of course, we've got people today that want to say they existed, but they didn't live alongside mankind. But they did. As we have read, there are many reports that give us evidence that they did exist at one time, and they existed along with mankind. Does the Bible speak about dragons or dinosaurs? If so, what does it say? We know that God created land animals on day six along with Adam and Eve. You know, we read that God created everything. And at the end, the seventh day, he rested and said, everything is good. And he ceased his creation, his creating. So if dinosaurs existed, God had to have created them. And he did. Day six. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Excuse me. Yes, God created them. You know, God didn't specify every animal that he created. He listed groups of them. He didn't mention dinosaur specifically. He didn't mention dragon specifically. But he says, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. The beast of the earth. What is the beast of the earth? It could be the cattle. I guess it could be horses, oxen. But it could also have been the dragons. This would have included the dinosaurs. We also know that everything created was done in 6 days of creation. God didn't bring forth the dinosaurs at some later time. They were created during that creation week. Thus the heavens and the earth and all. Notice the word all. What does the word all leave out? Nothing. All the host of them were finished. So everything that God created was done. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So during that creation week, God created all of these, what we call today, dinosaurs. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Exodus 20 and 11. All includes everything that exists and has existed in our universe, including the dinosaurs. So God did create them. He created them right along with Adam and Eve. They did live with mankind. There wasn't a 65 million year gap between dinosaurs and mankind. First of all, because there hasn't been 65 million years in the history of the universe. only about 6,000 years. These verses talk about dinosaurs in a general way by using the word all. As I said, God didn't specifically say that he made Tyrannosaurus rex. Does the Bible specifically speak of or describe creatures that we today might call a dinosaur? Where? Very good. You got your Bibles? Grab one. I remember going back to Bert Thompson when he taught this particular class. Let's turn to Job chapter 40 first. I remember Bert got his Bible out and says, okay, I want everybody to get your Bibles. Now I want you to turn to where God talks about the dinosaurs. Of course, he's going through his Bible and trying to find, you know, he's looking, he says, okay, he says, oh, it's mighty quiet in here. I don't hear any pages turning. Most people don't know. The Bible talks about dinosaurs. Again, doesn't use the word. We mentioned somebody earlier said the behemoth and Leviathan. These are two names that God has given some of his greatest creation as far as the animals are concerned. Remember the story of Job. Job was a righteous man. He worshiped God. He was doing everything in his power to do what God wanted him to do. But then what happened? His whole world fell apart. This is one of the stories that God has given us a glimpse behind the scenes, as it were. You know, most of the time we don't know what God is actually doing. You know, we know he's doing good, he's taking care of us and providing for us and all that. But the specifics, we don't know. But in this case, God tells us. What does he tell us? He's talking with Satan. Him and Satan are carrying on a conversation. And God says, Satan, paraphrasing here, look at my man Job. Look how great he is. Look how blessed he is. And Satan says, of course he's great. He's doing your will because you've got a hedge. You're protecting him. So God says to Satan, Job would worship me whether I protected him or not. So I tell you what, Satan, you do what you want to do with Job. Just don't kill him. Sometimes we live the Christian life thinking that if I do everything according to God's will, my life's going to be perfect. Job shows us otherwise. Your life may not be perfect. And when it's not, we need to rest assured that if we're following God's will, doing what God wants us to do, that God is still there. And it could be that we're being tested like Job was. Which means that God has that much confidence in us that we're going to remain faithful. No matter what obstacles are thrown at us. So it should be a way of encouraging us I've already had a 5-minute warning, so we won't get in and reading these things right now, but get your Bibles out. Read Job chapter 40, verses 15 through 24. And then turn over to Job 41 and read verses 1 through 34. Next week is Vacation Bible School, so we won't have class. It'll be 2 weeks before we come back together again. But we'll read those two passages then. But in the meantime, like I said, read Job 40, 41. Look at what God is describing to Job. Have you ever seen anything like that? Not in real life, but it could have been one of these dinosaur bones that we see. Two great creatures that God created right along with man, living with man because Job knew about them. This wasn't something that Job had just heard about. Job had seen. So yes, the Bible does talk about dinosaurs. Again, doesn't use that word. It does use the word dragon. And he also gives names to these two creatures, the behemoth and Leviathan. Two great creatures. Okay, 2 weeks. We'll start here in Job. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the rain, the many blessings that you give us. We thank you for your word. May we study it and learn from it the things that you'd have us to know. We know that you are great, you're almighty, and that you're in control of our lives, control of the universe. And may we always do your will, so that in the end we can be found faithful and spend eternity with you in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.